Is it okay if I move this? By way of introduction, has anyone ever seen this photo before? Anyone seen this photo? Now, there's a little bit of history. You might know the history of this photo, so I don't want to like insult your intelligence. But this photo was taken in 1989, and it was in the midst of a raging storm off the coast of Brittany. There was a French photographer knew about the storm, and so what he did, he grabbed his camera, and he got in the helicopter in the middle of the storm, and went up to try to capture some footage of this particular storm. Now, the man in the photo, upon hearing the helicopter in the middle of the storm, the keeper of the house was Theodore McGlorn. I'm not really sure how you pronounce that name, but he came out to investigate what the noise was. And when he comes out to investigate the noise, this huge wave strikes the back of his lighthouse, as you see it there, and the photographer captures that particular moment. Now, as we look at this photo, there's a couple things that it tells us as we look at it. First, it tells us that the man in the photo was a man who had complete faith in the little structure or the massive structure that he was standing in. I watched some video footage of this. You can go, if you Google it, I can give you the person's name. But waves are crashing on this thing, going almost over top of the entire thing. So it tells us that the man in the photo trusts that lighthouse in which he stands. But it tells us also a second thing. It tells us a little bit about the actual structure. The structure has proven itself time and time and time again to be a shelter, to be a place of refuge, something that has not succumbed to the storms that it faces on a regular basis. It is trustworthy, so much so that the man standing in the door mouth of the structure puts his life inside of the structure to keep it safe. Now, when we think of the Old Testament stories, we think of Joseph, we think of Esther, we think of Elijah, we think of Daniel. They face multiple catastrophic events in their life. And each one of those people, much of everything in their life that they had, seemed to collapse around them. And when we think about their stories, when we think about those events, what do those things teach us when we see their response? That when their life was most uncertain, they sought shelter in the Most High. They found refuge in the shadow of the Almighty. And so today, as we come to Psalm 91, one person writes this about this psalm. Psalm 91 is one of those passages that we can turn to when life feels shaky, when life storms come at us, when fears creep in, when life brings us grim news. This psalm is a psalm of trust. It provides a sense of security to us, a sense of safety, and a sense of refuge. And when we read it, or as you have read it, we see that it's more than just a psalm, though. It's a reminder to us that we have a shelter. We have a refuge. We have a fortress in our Lord. And we can find hope. We can find refuge in the same Lord that those people in the Old Testament, Daniel, Joseph, and the others. And so as we think about this, the idea I want to think about today is that when life storms come upon you, when they come upon us, we can run to the Lord and we can find refuge in Him. Much like this man in this photo found refuge in this particular lighthouse. So let's look again at the Psalm 91. Let's see how it begins. Look how it begins. It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." It was It was true in the Old Testament, and it's still true today in the New Testament and in our life today. And I'm sure most of you know in Matthew chapter 8, the one story that Jesus has with his disciples. If you go into the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 8, just after Jesus did many signs, did many wonderful things, he taught, Jesus and the disciples got into the boat, and by the time you get to verse 23 of chapter 8, it says, Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake and the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. You guys know this story? All right. His disciples went to Jesus. Said, woke him up and said, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? And then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And they were completely calm. See, when the disciples faced that particular struggle in life, their fear was ever so real. I'm not sure if you've ever been caught into a boat on a storm. I've not, thankfully. But if you've been on a cruise, you've been out in a small fishing boat, and that storm comes up, I'm sure that fear you feel is definitely a real fear. Yet Jesus was right there with them, peacefully sleeping. And what did he do? He rose, and he calms the storms. He calms the winds. He calms the waves with just a simple word, proving to them and to us that his power is over all things, even the storms in our life. You might be facing today a storm. Psalm 91 today is to remind us that we can run to the Lord as our refuge and our shelter in the midst of our storm. And he can hush any tempest. So as we go through the passage today, there's three things I want to point out that this psalm is highlighting for us. One, we can run to him, we can trust him because he is a shelter of trust. We can run to him because he promises protection. We can run to him as well because he is a voice of assurance. And so let's look how he is our shelter of trust. What do I mean by this? Look how the psalm begins again. Verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Now quickly, look again at those first two verses. And just pay attention how the psalmist names God in these first two verses. Now, other than God, how does the psalmist name him? Have a look. How does he name him? I'm happy for you to tell me. Most High, the Almighty, and the Lord, in addition to God. Why so many names, you might ask? It's a good question. That's the same question I asked. As one pastor pointed out in this passage, how God is introduced to us here is important. The Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, your God, all that he is, all that God is, the great Almighty, the Lord of all lords, higher than anything else, the Lord God, all that he is, this is the one who has you. He is the one who holds you in his hands, like a fortress where we can take refuge. But it's more than that. Yes, this is an idea of the greatness and the protection of the Lord. But using the word Lord now, it gives us more of an intimate feel of the psalm. It's not just about being near to God or being protected by him. It's about trusting him, about choosing to dwell, to live in his presence every day. There's a relationship in that situation. There's a relationship here, very much like we learn in Daniel. Now, as a church, this is the reason why I was drawn to Psalm 91, just to give you a little heads up here. We're going through Daniel as a church, and so we took a hiatus from Daniel, and I went to Psalm 91 because I think it's some overlapping themes here, so that's why I'm referencing Daniel quite a bit. But if you learn in Daniel, if you remember some of the stories in Daniel, he and the others regularly sought the Lord out. They praised him for who he was, but then they were completely and utterly dependent upon him for their life every day. As they took the next step, unknowing what that next step would be, unknowing what that next day would bring. And as I think about this, more and more I realize the hope and the rest and the comfort that we can get as we walk through the storms of life is that companionship, that relationship that we have with the Lord. That is what sustains us. I mean, how many of you have ever gone through a hard time and you're by yourself? It's tough. But then you have someone to talk it through with, you know, a friend, a partner, a therapist, or whoever it might be that you talk through. It helps take that next step easier because you're not going at it alone. And when we think about how our Lord is with us, He walks with us. I don't know if it's an old song, but we used to sing it growing up. And He walks with us. And He talks with us. And He tells me, I am His. The Spirit of Christ that we have, that which begins in us when we turn to Him in faith and repentance, He gives us forgiveness of sins. And He gives us His Spirit so that we have that relationship with Him and us and our Heavenly Father. It's that relationship that will endure through all that life brings to us. It will even endure through our very own death and into eternity. That is the hope, the everlasting life that we have with God, I think, as was referenced in Romans chapter 8. So if you're here today, if you've not turned to Jesus in faith and repentance, I would just say, as Jesus says, repent and believe. Now, how many of you have ever said this after a long day, maybe a stressful day, maybe a turbulent day, and you just say, I just want to go home? Anyone ever used that phrase before? I just would like to go home now, you know. But in that context, what are we meaning when we want to go home? Refuge. In that context, we're meaning home isn't the walls, the roof, is it? It's where we feel safe. It's where we can let our guard down. It's where we have security. It's where we can find rest mentally, physically, whatever it might be. That is a place where we can rest. And this psalmist here, he's communicating. We have come to the Lord because in Him we find safety. We find security. From all that life brings to us, He is our refuge, our, as it were, the safe haven. We are at rest and we are safe in Him. When life crashes on us, when the waves from the storm, as a child, we can say, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. So we can run to our Lord. We can run to Him and we can find refuge in Him. So He is our shelter, the one in which we can trust. But secondly, He gives promise of protection. One commentator writes this about Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is designed to inspire trust. But trust or faith in God and what He can do. Look again at verses 3 through 13. Now these words here ooze with confidence. Look at. Now can you feel these words? Surely He will save you. He will cover you. His faithfulness will be your shield. The psalmist continues in verse 5. You will not fear the terror of night. You will see the punishment of the wicked. You will tread on the lion and the cobra and trample on the great lion and serpent. This is very a poetic way for the psalmist is inspiring confidence to those who are walking through difficult paths because they can seek the refuge in the Lord. The section of the psalm, as one said, is very colorful. It's vividly describing God's protection from threats, from snares, from pestilence, from terrors, from warfare. And he continues, it's a laundry list, as it were, of everything that could go wrong. But that laundry list of everything that can go wrong goes head on with God's shield, His protection. And as it's mentioned here, His feathers. Now, as we read through this, we must understand that this psalm is not promising immunity from all of human or from all the harm that life brings to us. It's a poetic assurance of divine, of eternal protection. Many commentators think this psalm, specifically this section, is referring to Jesus' temptation in the New Testament, in the Gospels, because you see this direct quotation from verses 11 and 12. This is important because not only is it does it point that Jesus is the Messiah, but it also is helping us to understand that it is through the person of Jesus is where we find this eternal protection. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. He, being God in human flesh, has the power to overcome life's testing. And he gives us his spirit to face the woes of life. Now, this should give us hope. I hope it inspires hope and confidence to take the next step in whatever life brings to you. Hope in Christ, because he can overtake it. Hope that through his work, through his spirit, that he gives us this ultimate protection through life and through death inspires us. As we know what Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, Jesus says, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand, because I and the Father are one. And so as we think through Psalm 91 today, we can run to the Lord for our shelter and for our refuge, because he is a shelter we can trust. It's proven time and time again. He gives us a promise of a protection, an eternal protection, not immunity to life snares, but eternal. He will help us through them. He gives us an assurance. And thirdly, he gives us this voice of assurance. Now, as mentioned, I was drawn to this because we're going through the book of Daniel. And if you know Daniel at all, constantly Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, go to the Lord for help. Go to him asking for protection. And in the midst of their personal turmoil, and in a society that did not honor or glorify the God of them, they continually honor the Lord. They continually give him the glory that's due him. And as one pointed out, after each deliverance in the first half of the book, rewards are given. Promotions were handed out. You know, Daniel interprets a dream. Ooh, let's make you third in the nation. You know, they go through the fiery furnace. Oh, let's promote you up to the higher ranks of various things. But if you remember, if you have a chance to look through the last time, Daniel was simply offered as a reward to give in everything. And he simply turns to the king and says, keep your reward. Just keep it. I don't need what you're trying to give me. See, Daniel didn't need the blessing or the reward of an earthly king. Daniel is a comparison between earthly kings and heavenly kings. He doesn't need the earthly reward of kings on earth. Because as you can see later in Daniel 12, God tells Daniel, go your way till the end. And then he says, you will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. This mirrors Jesus' words in John chapter 16, if you know it. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, it says, you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. It also mirrors words in Hebrews 11. People lived by faith. What were they doing? Longing for a greater kingdom. Longing for something they have not yet obtained. A country far better than the one they were in. God's country. See, troubles and difficulties will still come across our path. Our earthly journey is not filled with roses. Roses have thorns, don't you? Wild roses, they're the worst. They poke you when you're trying to get him out. Troubles and difficulties will come. But this is the assurance that we have. Verse 14. Because he loves me. Because the Lord loves me. Because the Lord loves you. I will rescue you. I will protect you. For he acknowledges our name. He will call on you and he will answer. I will be with him in trouble, the Lord says. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy and show you my salvation. One day, our faith that we live by will become visualized. We will see our faith when we meet him face to face. So as we finish up the psalm today, this psalm isn't a promise, as mentioned, of an easy life. It's actually more. It's a promise of a better life still to come. Life on earth is tainted with sin, strife, confusion, corruption, grief. And I'm sure all of you can feel those emotions. But it's also intermingled with good, with delight, with ease, with comforts. The good, the right, the bad, all these things. It's a funny mixture that life brings to us. See, life is bound to have issues. But this is the promise. A life walked with the Lord gives us confidence to continue our way to the very end. Because at the end, we will rise. We will receive our allotted inheritance, an inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ, as you read about in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus assures us of that inheritance because he rose from the dead. So why should we run to our Lord and find refuge in him? We can because he is the shelter in which we can trust. He gives us promise to protect us for all of eternity. And he's the voice of assurance to help us to continue to walk by faith. Now, as mentioned, Psalm 91 is one of those passages that you can turn to when the world feels shaky, when storms brew, when fears come in, when we hear the horrible news on the television or the radio. It's a song that paints a picture, though, of safety. God is our shelter. His wings cover us. Angels can lift us up over troubles. Do you remember when you were young and you got scared at night? You're probably the youngest one here. What'd you do when you got scared at night? You go to your parents. Can they change the situation? Not really. Or you cover yourself in covers. It doesn't change what's happening. It just makes you feel so more secure. It just makes you feel not alone. One writes, life is a catalog of dangers. But these dangers are met with God's vivid protections. Protections that we can trust and rely on because of Jesus Christ. So when we're reminded of the disciples in the boat, they turned to the one that they trusted, and immediately he rescued them. When Peter was sinking in the sea, walking on the water, he cries to the one he could trust. When the woman had the incurable disease of bleeding, she went to the one she trusted. When Mary and Martha were overcome with grief, they ran and called out to the one they could trust. When Daniel, Elijah, Esther, when all of them faced impossible situations, they turned to the one they trusted. So today, so can you. We can turn to Jesus. He confronts us with these words, or he comforts us with these words. For long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day when you realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I also am in you. And so we can have assurance today. Run to the Lord. He's our shelter. He's our protection. And he's our assurance in life. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you can give us this assurance that will help us take each step as it comes. We give you thanks that we can take the next step, knowing that you are the God of today and you are the God of tomorrow, and you have us in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.